Would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Okay, this week we were out witnessing and had a conversation with a lady, and she's been in church for over 50 years. And so the conversation was going along fine, and then it got on a relative, not a blood relative, but a relative through marriage is in the Jehovah's Witnesses. And suddenly, this person was acting confused about Jehovah's Witness. And she said this to us. She said, you know, you can be in church for years hearing things, but never understanding really why and how to prove it. And so it really struck me. And so I was sharing with her that when I first started out in the ministry, I just would quote scriptures more. And I suppose the nice thing about that was is my messages were a lot shorter. People got out a lot earlier. But the Lord just spoke to my heart after some years that, you know what? We need to know where it is in our Bibles, the answer. And someone was just sharing with me recently, I think it was Brother Johnson, about that's the hard thing about getting a new Bible, unless it's by the same publisher. Then the verses aren't on the same page. So, you know, you're used to looking for a certain verse and it's, you know, let's say it's in the lower right-hand corner. Well, you get a different Bible and it may be in the upper left-hand corner now. And so you're searching for that verse. You know, you might know what book it's in, but maybe you can't remember the exact chapter and the exact verse. And so you're looking at a certain area. And so that's the good thing about, I know it takes us longer in messages to look up all the scripture, but at least you keep seeing the answer where it is. And so if you need to show it to someone else, Lord willing, you know, you'll be able to do that. So, but I know it does make the messages a little longer looking it up, but I have a few sheets. I don't have enough sheets for everyone here, but I'll hand out some of these in. If you would like a copy of, or more copies, just let me know. But the question is will the church have to go through the tribulation period? And, you know, a lot of people will say, no, the church won't have to go through the tribulation period. But how do you prove it to someone? When I worked at a truss rafter factory, I had a boss who, like I said, I can get more of these run off if anyone would like more. But so anyway, I had a boss that he was Christian Reformed, and he believed, his pastor taught that, I don't know if they had to go through the tribulation period or halfway through it. And so that was the time that Jack Van Impe was in Grand Rapids. That was in August of 1976. And so, you know, I thought I'm going to really impress him. And so I said, well, Dr. Jack Van Impe says we don't have to go through the tribulation period. Come to find out, he had been down to the same meetings. He had gone to them. But he said, it didn't faze him a bit. He says, my pastor says we do have to go through it. So we were at a stalemate. I didn't know how to prove it, and he didn't know how to disprove it. So we were both just going on what somebody else said. Neither one of us could prove what we believed. So here's just a few things we're going to look at today, Lord willing. Let's see here. So let's start out in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. And I'll try to get this computer so you can see the verses here. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. So you see, number one, the Bible says that the tribulation period is the time of Jacob's trouble, not of the church's trouble. So Jeremiah 30, verse 7 says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Well, people say, well, what does that prove? Well, the time of Jacob's trouble. Well, who's Jacob? Well, let's go to Genesis 32:28. Genesis 32 and verse 28. Genesis 32:28. "And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but what? Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." So it was Jacob's name who was changed to Israel. So the tribulation period is the time of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble, Jacob's trouble. What does that mean? It means Israel's trouble. Okay. So, and then we're talking about context of the latter days, when this trouble is coming. Our first verse there was Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Now let's go to Jeremiah 30, 24. Jeremiah 30, 24. Because you may say, well, the time of Jacob's trouble, when is it? Jeremiah 30, verse 24. The Bible says, "The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath done it, and until he hath performed the intents of his heart in what? The latter days ye shall consider it." The latter days. Well, the latter days, the last days, are from the time that Jesus was on the earth. And when you're talking about latter days, it's talking around tribulation period time or judgment period time. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. And verse 30, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and verse 30. The Bible says, "When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in what? The latter days. If thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice." Need a bigger pulpit here to. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, just wanted to look at more of the context here. Let's look in verse 31 then. "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." Okay. So then we see that Israel will be attacked from the north in the latter days. And let's go to Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38. And verse 14. Ezekiel 38:14. Excuse me. The Bible says, "Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it?" So Israel is going to be attacked from the north. And let's look in verse 15. "And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. So there you see it again, in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that would be Israel, that the heathen may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. So most people would recognize Gog as being in Russia, the former Soviet Union. It would be from up in that area. Okay, so we'll read verse 17 as well. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time, by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? So, you know, people have been talking about prophecy that Russia would come against Israel eventually. And, you know, at times Russia seemed really aggressive, the Soviet Union, and other times they've seemed more gentle. But you can see what's happening right now. They're gathering their troops on the border with Ukraine. And, you know, all of Europe is concerned about that. And, of course, you have a lot of confederacies up in there. You have Turkey, and you have Iran wanting to align itself in Syria, all with Russia. So we see these nations one day coming against Israel. So then we see that Daniel is given some information about Israel in the latter days. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. The Bible says, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. You know, this passage reminds me of Luke chapter 18. Has there been anything on your heart that you've been praying about? Well, obviously, yes. We have lost people we've been praying for. We have wayward Christians we've been praying for. So yes, and does it seem like it's been a long time? Well, yes. Look with me while we're looking at this verse at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to what? To pray and not what? To faint. Have you ever felt faint? Well, if you're honest, you'd have to say yes. You know, to me, what's happening in our country right now, I just keep thinking over and over. It's the hour of darkness. I just keep thinking about when Jesus said, I'll not talk with you much anymore. Why? Because evil was going to take place. And so he said, I'm not going to be talking with you much anymore. And I just, to me, across America right now, it's like where there once was angels in protection, to me it's like demonic activity reigning free right now. Is it because God doesn't care or God doesn't have power? Of course not. He cares. He has the power to stop it in a moment. But just like with Judas, that was the hour that he was to give his life for our sins. And this may be the hour when things are setting up for the Antichrist. It's not that God doesn't care. He does care. But this is prophesied that it would happen. And it's going to come. So it says, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. So, I mean, here we have someone who is who's helpless, who needs help. It's a widow. And she goes to the judge. She's asking for help. And he would what? He would not for a while. He wouldn't help her. He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God. Do we have any judges right now that do not fear God? I should say, a whole bunch of them. So we know what this is like. He said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her what? Continual coming, she weary me. Well, God is not an unjust judge. He is a just judge. But the point of this, the Lord's cheeriness, is that sometimes we get weary because of the time. The time factor. We get tired. Sometimes we feel like giving up. And the Lord said here what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry what? Day and night unto him. Do you cry day and night unto him? I do. Which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Yes, yeah, sometimes he does. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what? Faith on the earth. So here we're given a picture of the end times. When the Lord comes, will he find faith on the earth? Or will there be a lot of people who have fainted? It's like, I mean, there's some Americans that are really feeling faint and like hopeless. I mean, it's like we're going headlong, you know, down a slope. And will there ever be any recovery from it? Well, I don't know. Only the Lord knows. But the Lord can turn it around if it's his time. He can turn it around. But when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? How many people really will be watching for him when he comes? Someone just shared with me recently, there's a couple young men that once sat in Baptist churches, and today they're online with filthy language and evidently boasting about their drinking liquor. Those two boys once sat in a Baptist church. What happened? Are they really saved? I don't know. Only the Lord knows if they're really saved. But I tell you, there's a lot of people that have become faint. And so we can't get in that state. We've got to keep praying. Okay. Well, let's get back here to our papers. Okay, so Daniel, he's given us information, and I'm not sure if we got all the way through that, so let's go back there just a moment. Okay, so then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. I guess why I got off on that about prayer is that because, you know, sometimes we get discouraged, but it does not mean that God is not hearing our prayers. We don't know all of the timing involved. And we can't see what's happening in the background like this. Daniel couldn't see this either. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, what country is Persia today? Iran, whatever you want to pronounce it, but that's Persia. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. So I can recall Iran has done some really irrational things in the past. And I've heard people say, what is wrong with them? I mean, Are they crazy? Well, no, yes and no. The problem is they're following their daddy, the devil. There's demonic, powerful demonic activity over Persia, over Iran. That's why they do what they do. That's why Iran has openly stated they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And if they get a nuclear bomb, they plan on doing it. Wiping Israel out, the whole thing. That's their goal. Why? Well, because their daddy is the devil. That's why. Notice with me in John chapter 8, verse 44. John 8, 44. The Bible says, ye are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was what? A murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So he's a murderer. He realized the blood of every person who has ever died, all that blood is on Satan. He's the one that deceived mankind into going into sin, and the wages of sin is death. So he's responsible for the blood of every person who's ever died. So let's go back here to Daniel. If it'll let me go back. Okay. So he continues on to Daniel. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in what? The latter days. That phrase you want to remember. When you read through the Bible and you see that phrase, the latter days, you're talking about end time events happening. So he's come to make Daniel understand what was going to befall Israel in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Okay, let's go to, let's see here, chapter 11, Daniel chapter 11. And verse 31, Daniel 11, verse 31. So this is talking about the Antichrist here. And I'm trying to put all these pieces together so you can see why the tribulation period, and this is the picture I'm trying to show you, the tribulation period has always been something in view for Israel, not the church. That's what I'm trying to help you see here. But okay, so Daniel 11, 31. Speaking of the Antichrist, it says, "And arms, weapons, shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." So he's going to pollute the sanctuary of strength. So the Jews are going to have another temple. They are going to have a sanctuary. And he is going to take away the daily sacrifice. Now, the Jews have already done some sacrificing over there. But there's going to be some regular sacrificing. And he's going to place the abomination that maketh desolate. And this is referred to in Matthew 24. And we know this abomination that maketh desolate happens in the tribulation period. So let's go to Matthew 24, 15. Matthew 24, 15. So here we see it again. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by who?" Daniel. So this is Jesus talking. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand where? In the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. So Jesus is letting them know that the tribulation period, some of this information that Daniel received was about the tribulation period. And in what time was it? The latter days. That's what he was told. This will happen in the latter days. So there's going to be the abomination of desolation. It's going to stand in the holy place. Well, then Jesus said, then let them which be where? In Judea flee into the mountains. Now, is the church of Jesus Christ, is the center of it Judea? No. So we're talking about Israel. He's saying, when you see the abomination that maketh desolate, then flee. Those which be in Judea, flee into the mountains. So we're talking about Israel. And our time is almost up here, but maybe we can go on just a little further here. And let's see what that is, the abomination that maketh desolate. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. What is it that people are supposed to see? I mean, how do you know? What is the abomination that maketh desolate? Well, we read about it right here in greater detail. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come what? A falling away first. And that man of what? Of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So we're talking about the Antichrist. He's going to be revealed. And what about him? Well, who opposeth and exalteth who? Himself above all that is called God. You know, we're living in the self generation, aren't we? You got all these phones with selfie pictures, and I don't know how many people have died taking foolish selfies of being on a cliff or some crazy spot. I saw one once of someone who climbed up the top of a skyscraper building, and then he climbed up the pole on top of that building, and he was on top of that, and he took a selfie picture of himself. I think that was the guy. I don't know how many buildings later he fell and died. It's the self generation who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that who? He, as God, sitteth where? In the temple of God, showing what? Himself that he is God. That is the abomination that maketh desolate. And so we'll have to see this more in detail, but at the midpoint of the tribulation period, let me back up. At the beginning of the tribulation period, God has his two witnesses in Jerusalem. And anyone who tries to hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouths, and they devour their enemies. So for 3.5 years, righteousness prevails in that sense. They're speaking the word of God, and they're bringing down plagues on the earth, and the earth, the world, people of the world hate them. But at that 3.5 year point, Satan is kicked out of the heavenly realm, and he is allowed to cause those two witnesses to perish. 3.5 days later, they rise again, they ascend back to heaven, there's a great earthquake. And then it's at that point when Satan has been kicked out of the heavenly realm. Michael and his angels fight against the devil and his angels. So those first 3.5 years, we're going to have, or there will be 144,000 witnesses covering the earth with the gospel. But that second 3.5 years, they're going to have to be protected because Satan has come down having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And so at that point, this is what he's going to do. The Jews are going to have a temple. They're going to be doing their sacrifices. And they're going to sign a covenant with him. But he's going to break the covenant after 3.5 years. He's going to betray them. So Judas was just a type of the Antichrist there. He says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. We'll talk about this more, but what is stopping the Antichrist from taking over? He may very well be alive right now. In fact, I would be shocked if he isn't. But we don't know the Lord's timetable. Just like with Israel, you'd have a good king and then you'd have a bad king. I mean, you'd have a Manasseh, which you would think would be totally helpless and lost. You'd think you'd never recover. But you end up with a Josiah. So I don't know God's timetable here. So something is stopping the Antichrist from revealing himself. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I believe this is the Holy Spirit, and we can look at it more later. But the Holy Spirit, when Jesus ascended back to heaven, he sent the Comforter to baptize believers into the body of Christ. So the Holy Spirit has always been everywhere because he's God. He moved upon the face of the waters in creation. He was there, the Spirit of God. And he will be. In the end, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The end of the book of Revelation. But in his specific ministry, just like Jesus had a specific ministry in his physical body here, and then he was taken up, and yet he is still within us, John chapter 3. He abides within us. Even so, the Holy Spirit, at a certain point, we are sealed by him, Ephesians 4:30, and at a certain point, the Holy Spirit is going to be removed from that ministry of baptizing and sealing believers into the body of Christ. And then, that is when the Antichrist is revealed and takes over. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all what? Power and signs and lying wonders. It goes back, I don't think I need to turn there with you, but Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name done wonderful works, and thy name, I will turn back there, I've goofed it up. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And let's start in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have what? Cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I what? Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, this verse here, verse 22, just describes exactly what the charismatic movement is all about. Prophesying in Jesus' name, casting out devils in Jesus' name, doing many wonderful works, miracles in Jesus' name. Well, it says many, and though many are going to hear this, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The whole thing is they've switched from the authority of God's word to signs and wonders. And that is exactly how the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. As we just saw in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, our time is out here. Let me just get back. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them what? Strong delusion, that they should believe what? A lie. Can you see that people are ready for that? You get someone saying something online, and it's like, the world's in an uproar, and it might not even be true, let alone all the news media that are controlled by the devil. People are ready to be deceived, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, Okay, well, we'll try to deal some more with this in if you want the rest of the sheets. It just kind of touched my heart about hearing this lady say that. She'd been in a Baptist church a long time and seemed to be so strong until the end of our conversation, and she was confused by Jehovah's Witnesses and wondering why she really didn't know why she believed what she said she believed. And that's a shame. You know, we need to know why we're not going through the tribulation period. Now, that does not mean we're not going to face tribulation, but we're talking about the tribulation period, that time of great trouble coming on the earth. So we need the answers. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us. I pray you'd help us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit to bring these things to our mind. We need him to bring these scriptures to our minds. And Lord, please help us. There are a multitude of deceived people. There are a multitude of people out there that really have no idea why they believe what they believe. And then when they hear someone come along that sounds persuasive, they get into the doubt mode. So, Lord, please help us and strengthen us from thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.